Greetings and welcome back to another and ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak at Shalom, and it is an honor for us to be starting together our study of the last Masechet of the Talmud Bavli, Masechet Nida, the only Masechet of Talmud Bavli in the Seder Taharot. Just a couple of prefatory notes to Masechet Nida in general, and then to our parak in specific. Masechet Nida deals not only with the issues affecting marital relations and cessation of marital or abstention of marital relations as a woman is classified as a Nida, but also, and perhaps chiefly, issues relating to Taharot. I have to remember that during the period of the composition of the Mishnah and even afterwards, many people were still practicing many of the restrictions of Tum'ah and many of the implications of Tum'ah in their daily lives, eating chulin al tarat Tum'ah or al tarat HaKodesh. And as a result of that, if a woman was involved in preparing foods, etc., that were at that standard and then was deemed to be a nida, that would have impact on the food. Which brings us directly to the first sugya, the first parak, in which we're going to see several terms, and it's better to lay them out right now. We're going to begin with one of the few disputes directly between Shammai and Hillel, and the terms that will be used here are Daya Sha'ata or Dayan Sha'atan, which literally means their hour is enough. And I'll explain what that means in a moment. We will hear the phrase Mipkida Lipkida and Me'et La'et. Me'et La'et means 24 hours. Me'et La'et could mean 24 hours from now till tomorrow. It could mean 24 hours from now back 24 hours. That is the referent that's being used here, the meaning that's being used here. Mipkida Lipkida means from checking to checking. And what it means is as follows. A woman who's involved in Taharot will be checking herself on a regular basis to make sure that she's not a Nida. We will go into some of the details about what that checking involves later on in our parak and in the second parak. And Mipkida Lipkida would mean that if she saw Dam, that we would consider her to be Tmeah, all the way back to the last time she checked and found herself to be Tahara. Mipkida Lipkida, meaning going back to the last Pkida, the last checking. Me'et La'et would mean that the maximum we would go back would be 24 hours. So if, as an example, she hadn't checked herself in 3 days and then saw Dam, anything that she had had contact with over the past 24 hours would be deemed to be Tamei, if it was of such a stature, treated like Trumot or Korashim. And Dayan Sha'atan means that her hour is enough, meaning that we do no retroactive Tum'ah, but we deem only things from here on in to be Tameh. So let's begin with the first Mishnah, which really is the first two Mishnayot. Shammai Omer, Kol HaNashim Dayan Sha'atan. All women have that rule of Dayan Sha'atan. We'll see that there may be a small exception to that, but that's the general rule. Hillel Omer Mipkida L'Pkida, that all women, if they see Dam, have to then assume that there may have been Dam any time since the last time she checked and found herself Tahara. Even if it's many days, we rule like neither of them. Ella, Me'et La'et Me'etzet Al-Yedei Mipkida L'Pkida Mipkida L'Pkida Me'etzet Al-Yedei O'Al-Yad Me'et La'et, meaning that you use each of them to minimize the other. In other words, that you go back to the last check or 24 hours, whichever is less. Now, kol isha sheishla veset. Veset means a regular period. In modern Hebrew, vasat, for instance, is a regulator or a valve. Kol isha sheishla veset, a woman who has a regular period, daya sha'ata. And that, everybody seems to agree, that daya sha'ata, we will see that it's not as simple as all of that. If a woman, when she has relations, uses edim, which is checking cloths, we'll see the details about that later on in the Mishnah, we consider that to be a proper check, and therefore, so if a woman checked at that time and found herself to be tahara, and then an hour later saddam, then she would only have retroactive tumah for an hour, and not to the last time she had another kind of check, or 24 hours. Now, Ketzad Dayashata, it's kind of a strange example, and the Gemara will comment on it. What's an example of Dayashata? Hitayashav mitav asuka b'taharot. Let's say she was sitting in a bed, and working with some food that was taharot. Upershav ra'ata, she got out of bed and saw dam. She's tame, but everything there is tahor, because dayashata, even if 2 minutes later, we have no retroactive tuma. Even though we say that in some cases there's retroactive tuma, Chachamim's position, 24 hours back, but she starts counting her Yemei Nida from the time that she saw it. Now there is an entire structure of Yemei Nida and Yemei Ziva and everything else. I'm not going to explain that at this point, but rather later on in the Masechet when we start dealing with those specifics. Okay, my ta'amei de Shammai. We're going to see there are four different suggestions for why Shammai holds dayashata for all women. So position number one is a conceptual position. Kesavar, ha'amei isha al chezkata. A woman has a chazakah. A chazakah meaning a presumed situation based on recent history. V'isha b'chezkata or tohara amedet. The woman was tohara until now. She was tohara from the last time she went to the mikvah. And so Hillel says, Ki amar amedavar chezkato, I agree that we have something called chazakah d'meikara, meaning the presumed status that was originally there continues until we know it to be changed. When does that apply? That's when the challenge to the chazakah does not come from the body itself. So for instance, as an example, if you have a shtar, and the shtar is assumed to be good, and then somebody challenges the shtar, that challenge is external to the shtar. Somebody is coming and claiming that the signatures are forged or something of that sort. That is external to the shtar. So there you have Hamed Davar Chezkato, and until you can prove that it's wrong, it's okay. But here, the challenge comes from her herself, and like Rashi points out, she regularly sees Dam. Just this time, we know that she's going to have a cycle where she's going to see Dam. So therefore, we do not have the principle of Hamed Davar Chezkato. Aval Itata Kevin Migufa Kachazia, since she sees the Dam from her own body, we do not apply that principle. Okay, very good. Why is this case, as a challenge to Shammai, any different than the famous case of the mikvah? We have a Mishnah in Mikvahot. You have a mikvah that you measure, and you found now it's got only 39 sa'ah. Anything that was done retroactively, meaning back to the last time you checked, whether this mikvah is in a public area or private area, and the reason that's critical is because we have a general rule that safek tuma b'rshut rabim tahor, safek tuma b'rshut yachid tamei, based on the model of sota, nonetheless tmeot, 100% tmeot. Remember, Hillel only said that we do retroactive tuma misafek. Here we're saying it's 100% tamei. So if, for example, a man went into this mikvah 3 days ago, and then this man was dealing with some kodshim and some trumot, etc., and touched some kalim, etc., and now, 3 days later, we check, and we hadn't looked at the mikvah since he went, and now we find it to be chaser, we say he is tamei, and everything he touched is tamei, and he never got out of his tumah. So now, with Shammai, Kashan Mafreya, according to Shammai, the whole thing is problematic. Retroactive Tuma, according to Shammai, shouldn't exist. Lehillel, Kashav Adai, Hillel has a smaller problem, which is that we're treating the Tuma in the case of the Mikvah as Tuma Vada'it, certain Tuma, whereas he said it's questionable. Dilemate Le'et, Shemenida Tolin. When it comes to the 24-hour, or for Hillel, the Pekita Pekita, retroactive Tuma, we have a deal of tolin. Tolin means lo achlin velo sorfin. Truma, if it is good, must be eaten. If it is certainly tamei, must be burned. If we're not sure, then tolin, we let it hang, which means we have to bury it. We can't burn it. So Hillel says it's safek. Ve'ilu hacha, in this case, tuma vadai. It was said tameim. So the answer to the difference between mikvah, in our case, that will solve both for Shammai and Hillel is, because there, the guy who went into the mikvah was originally tamei. We know he was tamei. And now the question is, did he get better? So therefore, I could say he never really went into a proper mikvah. So adurabah, let's go back the other way. Hamed mikveh al chezkato. The mikvah also had a chazaka, because the last time we checked it, a month, 2 months, 3 months ago, it had 40 sa'ah. Ve'ema lo chaser. So now, I really don't know, something changed, but I don't know which changed in what order. The answer is, Hare chaser lefanecha. Well, I have to say it's chaser because I have a mikveh that's deficient in front of me. So, hachanami are dam lefanecha. So the same thing with the woman there. She has dam. So the answer is, hashtag u'da chazoi. So maybe she just saw the dam now. So maybe the mikvah only became a chaser now. Why am I putting retroactive tumah? So hachi ashta, let's examine it. With the mikvah, you could possibly posit that it was, and it likely was, a slow process of evaporation or splashing out or something, where it started going down until it finally crossed the 40 sa'a threshold. You can't say that with the woman. Either she saw or she didn't see. There's no shear there. My kusha, since when? Maybe she just saw the big clumps of blood or whatever, but she really had some dam earlier. So the real answer that we want to get to is Hatam Ika Tarta the Reyuta. In the case of the mikvah, we have two challenges to the chazaka. Hacha Ika Chara the Reyuta. Here we only have one, meaning, in the case of the mikvah, we have what I'm going to call a colliding challenge and a contending challenge. The colliding challenge is, on the one hand, the mikvah was originally full, but on the other hand, the guy was originally tameh. And now we have that's a colliding challenge. The contending challenge is that right now we have an empty mikvah. On the other hand, the woman only has one problem, which is she was originally tohara, and now we see dam. There's no colliding challenge at the beginning. Okay, good. So that's how we've distinguished between the two. So Maishnami Chavit, second challenge to both Shammai and Hillel, which is the case of the barrel. And now, just one quick prefatory bit, which is that when you take Trumot and Masrot, you have to take Truma and Maser from something on its own kind. And if you regard wine and vinegar as being essentially the same thing, but just vinegar is a poor version of it, then even if you took vinegar as Truma for wine, even though you shouldn't, it is valid. But if vinegar is a separate mean, then it's not valid. This Mishnah operates according to Rebbe's position that vinegar and wine are separate meaning. Did not. Let's say a guy was checking a barrel because he wanted to use it for truma for other barrels. And after he'd taken truma to Masrot, he found it to be vinegar. Now, kol gimel yamim vadai. For 3 days it's vadai. What does that mean? So according to Rabbi Yochanan, that means that for the first 3 days since you checked it, we assume it's wine. And if, let's say now I'm looking at it 6 days after, a week after I originally checked it, the first 3 days since I checked it, we say it was 100% wine. From there on, mikan ve'elach safek. From then till now, it's a safek. Okay, according to Shimon Levi, it's the opposite. He says, kol gimel shanim gimel yamim, meaning the last 3 days, it's for sure chometz. And anything before that, till the minute I finished checking it the last time, it is safek. Okay? But kasha l'shamai, either way, it's a problem for Shammai, because here we have retroactive imputation of the current status backwards. The answer is hatam shuv niko nemar ve'tel l'chazkato, because then again, the wine that had not yet been covered by Trumot was originally Tevel, so keep it as Tevel. The Ema loit kan. So I can argue that it wasn't yet properly fixed. The rabbi can argue the opposite way. I mean, the Einoch Hezgato, the wine was originally good wine. Ema loichmit, so perhaps it didn't go bad. The answer is, loichmit the fanecha, but you look at it in front of you and it is vinegar. Achanami dam fanecha, same thing with dam. The answer is, hashtag udachazoi. We're going to the same answer. She saw dam now. Hatamnami hashtag udachmit. But maybe the vinegar only became vinegar now, and yet I'm treating it like it may have been vinegar earlier. Same answer we had before. Vinegar is a slow process from wine to vinegar. It doesn't happen in 1 second. You can't say that she saw dam slowly. It's just either she did or didn't. So we give again the same answer, which is perhaps she saw the bigger pieces, but there was some dam earlier. And again, the same answer, hatam ika tarta l'reuta, hacha ika char l'reuta. Again, in the case of the barrel, you have, first of all, the chazaka of it being wine, colliding with the chazaka that was tevel, and challenged by the fact that right now it's vinegar. Hacha ika char l'reuta. In the case of the woman, there's only one challenge to her chazaka, and that is the fact that you're seeing dam in front of you right now. Okay, so we've gone pretty much in the same direction. Okay, now, Rami Chavita Mikvah. Parenthetically, the barrel case now stands in opposition to the mikvah case. Because Maishna Hacha Vadai, in the case of the mikvah, he said, anything done before is Vadai Tameh. And Maishna Hacha Safek, and in the case of the vinegar, we say it may have been vinegar. The answer is that it's really not a disagreement. You got to see who the author is. The author of our selection of Chavit is Rabbi Shimon. So the Mikvah, he also considers that the Mikvah case would be a Safek, which means Rabbi Shimon's position is when you have a Chazkat Kashrut with an immediate contending, a challenging a Chazaka, and then later a contending challenge, a colliding challenge and a contending challenge, it becomes a safek. And therefore we see non-mikvah shindad misachaser kol torot shen asol gavav v'mafreya b'nishud v'rachim shachim t'meyot. That's chacham, we already saw that. V'shimun omer shut rabim torot b'shut yachid tolin. He treats it like 100% safek. He says if it's b'shut rabim, if it's a public area, it doesn't have to be out in the street, but just public access and people are around there, then it's 100% tahor. And if, on the other hand, it's v'shut hayachid, then it's safek, and we're dealt like with as a safek, tolin, but not vaday tameh. So Shimon is also the author of the chavit, and therefore he says that when we have these this kind of chazaka collision, the result is safek, not vaday no good. Both Chachamim and Reb Shimon inferred their positions from Sota. Sota is the great model of safek tumah. Rabbanan Savri ki Sota. This episode's like Sota. Ma Sota Safeki Rasta'ovodai. The Torah says she's a Safek. Maybe she was had an affair, maybe she didn't. And we're going to treat her like Vadai. She's Asura Labaal. And if she doesn't drink, she loses her Ktubah. So she's considered as if she, as if we assume that she had the affair. Achama Safek Rasua Vadai. So same thing here. It's a Safek. We treat her like Vadai. So imi sota, so our challenge to Rabbanan is ema ki sota masot reshut rabim tahor achanam reshut rabim tahor. Remember, if a sota doesn't go into seclusion with the man about whom she's suspected of having the affair, there's no sota. So if she's only seen with him in a public area, there's nothing there. So achiyash, so they should say the same thing here. Why do Rabbanan say, I don't care where the mikveh is, in any case it's tamei? They say, achiyashta, hata mishum stirahu, because the case of sota is because of discretion, because where they're hiding, we think that they're doing something nefarious. Still, Rishut Rabim like it. There is no discretion in Rishut Rabim. That's what defines Rishut Rabim. Hacha Mishum Chaserhu. Here, it's because the mikveh is deficient. Mal Chaser Rishut Rabim, Mal Chaser Rishut Yachid. Why does it matter where the mikveh is vis-a-vis the issue of it being less than 40 sa'ah? Meaning, it's irrelevant. Meaning, Chachamim are not looking at this in a purely formal setting where the rules of Sota can be morphed onto the mikveh because, contextually, they don't apply. Now, tahor, but we have a general rule that all safek tumah b'shut rabim is tahor. The answer is, in sota, kevin de'ika tar to the reyuta kivarei tumadami. That since a woman, since here we have the mikvah has two challenges to its chazaka. A, the guy was certainly tameh, and B, right now, it is chaser. We treat it like varei tumah. And not safek, and therefore not safek tahor b'shut rabim. That's chachamim. Rabbi Shimon savar ki sota. Again, I agree. You learn from sota. Ma sota b'shut rabim tahor. Achana b'shut rabim tahor. So just like sota, he's learning it formally. B'shut rabim is tahor. Same thing here. So imi sota, ima ki sota b'shut yachid tmeya vaday. Chachamim b'shut yachid tmeya vaday. But remember, if a sota goes into seclusion with the guy, we treat it like vaday tmeya. So, and he says, Tolin, he says, Hachiyashta, Atam, Yishra, Glaim, Ladavar. In the case of Sota, there's a lot of circumstantial evidence, which is why, by the way, if you have all of that plus one aid of Tuma, as we saw at the beginning of Sota, she's gone, she's finished. Sharei Kineva Vitistara, he warned her about the guy in front of Adim, and she hid in front of other Adim with the guy. She was in seclusion with the guy in front of Adim. Therefore, it's circumstantial evidence. With the mikvah, we don't have raglaima though. We don't have circumstantial evidence that the guy wasn't properly tovel. There's another way to look at it. Okay, so now, the Hainu Tamid of Shimon, the Rabbi Shimon says, not because of this other way of inferring from Sota, but the Gamar Sof Tuma Mitchila Tuma. Mikvah, which is Sof Tuma, getting out of Tuma, he infers from getting Tameh. Matchila Tuma Sofik Naga Sofik Mano Naga. If you may have touched a Nevela, or may not have. B'shut rabim tahor, but if it's out in the street, automatically you're tahor from sota. Af sof tuma, so therefore at the end, sofik taval, sofik lo taval. If we don't know if you went properly in the mikvah, meaning we don't know if the mikvah was 30 and under 40, b'shut rabim tahor. Rabbanan says, hachi hashta, you can't compare the two. Hatam gavra b'cheska ta'arakai. In the case of the guy who may have touched the nevela or not, he had a cheska ta'ara. We have a safek, we're not going to make him tumei. We're not going to literally descend him down to tuma. Here you have a guy who was for sure tamei. Here, you're not going to, in spite of the safek, raise him out of his status of tuma. That we're not going to do. Okay, so now we have yet another problem with this whole system, which is Maishtami Mavui. We have a Mishnah in Taharot about an alleyway. Hasheret Shinsavi Mavui. You have a sheret, a dead sheret, found in the Mavui. Metami Lamafreya. Everything that was done there in the past, we'll see how far back, is considered Tame, any Taharot that were there. As far back as a guy can say, I checked this alleyway and there was no sheret. So if it was last night or last week or a month ago, everything going back to that time is Tame. Or Ad Shata Kibbut, unless they have regular street sweepers, then, you know, it goes back to the last time that happened. So there it's Vadai Tame. The answer is Atanami came into Ika Shratzim de Gufei. There we also have Tartu Reuta. Why? Because you have the local Shratzim in the Mavui. Shratzim de Atu Mialma. It seems that something of an arbitrary distinction, but you have Shratzim that come from the outside, and they die there. Ketartu Reuta Dami. We consider it like Tartu Reuta. Okay. So that's all the first approach to Shammai's reason, which, as I said, is a conceptual approach, and that is that, we regard the issue of the woman as she had cheskatara, and therefore we're not going to mess with that and assume that she was tahara until we actually saw dam. And the challenges from the mikvah, the challenge from the chavit, the challenge from the mavui, and we dealt with that in every case, giving the answer of tar to the reuta. We have a whole different possible direction, and we're going to see three quick answers to Shammai that all go in somewhat of a different approach, not conceptual, but physiological. A woman feels when she's bleeding, and therefore she didn't feel it before, she wasn't bleeding. Hillel says, she may have thought that she needed to urinate, and that was the feeling. Well, the Shammai, Ha'ika Yishena, what's Shammai going to say about a woman who was asleep? She was sleeping, maybe she had the feeling she didn't know it. If she feels that pain, she wakes up. Just like if somebody has to urinate in the middle of the night, they wake up. They feel that and it wakes them up. What do you do with a woman who's incompetent and doesn't understand what's going on? So the answer is, and this is something we'll deal with later in the Masechet, how a Shota in general deals with Bedika, etc. Mota Shama Bishota. Shama agrees. In the case of a Shota, you can't say Dayashata. So, Kol Anashim Tani, but Shammai said, Kol Anashim, all women have Dayashata. The answer is, Kol Anashim Pichot, means all competent women. V'liti Nashim, so why not just say, Nashim Dayan Shatan, why call? The answer is, Afukim and Abelezer, we'll see in the next Mishnah, which is Mishnah Gimel, where Abelezer holds, Arba Nashim. There's four women who have Dayan Shatan, Abetula, Meuberet, Aminikan, Ezekena, Betulo, so Kamashman, Kol Anashim, so Shammai holds all women. Are that way, meaning women who are competent. Okay, v'ha'ika k'tamim. So we have the whole issue of k'tamim, which we're going to deal with at length later on in the Masechet, which is stains that are found on her undergarments. So lema t'nan k'tamim de lo k'shamai. So the whole issue of k'tamim, which we all agree has retroactive tuma, is all not like Shammai. That's very strange to say the whole rule of k'tamim. Shammai rejects. Shammai agrees that k'tamim have retroactive tuma. My Tama, because it's reasonable. But Tziporim Taska, she wasn't slaughtering a bird. Shuksha Vavachim Lara, she didn't walk through the meat market. Like, how does the blood... Hai Dami Echaati, where do you think this blood came from? It must have come from there. So now we don't have a choice. We have to say that there is some retroactive Tuma. Okay, that's second reason. Third reason, The Shammai says that it's somewhat similar to the recent reason we gave, that if there was Dam, she would have seen it. In other words, as opposed to that she would have felt it, but she would have seen it. Hillel says, "Kol beit racham midu." The vaginal walls keep it in. Shammai says, "Kol beit racham lo mor bidam." They don't hold it in. So it's a disagreement about anatomy. Okay, Mishamesh Moch Ma'iko. Remember, what are you going to say about a woman who uses birth control, which is the moch, which she puts in there, which would have kept the dam from coming out? So Abay Modesh Shammai Mishamesh Moch. So he said, Shammai will agree that in the case of Mishamesh Moch, according to this reason, he'll have to agree that she does have mate late or some sort of retroactive tuma. Rav Amar Moch Nami Agav Zeh Mechvitz Kavitz. Even Moch, when she sweats, it contracts a little bit, and the dam will get out. So if she had dam, she would have seen it. Rav would agree that in the case of a very tightly fitting moch, indeed, she would have to have tumah of some retroactive level. So now we have two explanations that are physiological and one that's conceptual. So what's the difference between them? Whether we can use mikvah, chavit, in other words, whether you can use things from other areas of halacha as a challenge. Now, according to the first version, you could use them as a challenge because it's a conceptual issue of chazaka versus chazaka. According to these, you can't challenge them because these are local, sui generis to nida, depending on the physiology and the nature of menstrual flow. Now, within the two of margeshet versus roah, what's the difference there? So the abaya ikamoch, the rava ikamoch tachuk, because abaya and rava both agree that some sort of moch will be an exception to the rule, only if we say it's because she would have seen, but felt, she would have felt whether there's a moch in there or not. Okay, Tanya Kaleishna. We have a brayta that supports the version that says Dimita Davidami Karviyati, the last version which says that had she had Dam, she would have seen it already, which is the following. Amaro Hillel Lashamai. This is background. Hillel turns to Shammai and says, we assume that it means the following. If you had a basket that had some food in it that we were keeping as taharot, and it was in one corner, and then we moved it, and there's a dead sheretz in another corner where it was, don't you agree that the original fruit that there is there is now tamei, because we assume it had contact with the sheretz? Amar lo aval. Shammai said back, true. Mafresh ben zu lezu. Nonetheless, they're not the same. Lezu yesh la shulayim, lezu ein la shulayim. A basket has a bottom. I mean, the sheretz had to be in there. This one has no bottom, which means the dam would have come out. So that seems to support the idea that Shammai's reasoning is that the dam would have come out. Rav Amar, this is the fourth reason. Tama de Shammai, what's Shammai's reason? Mishum bitul piv yurvya. He does not want marital relations and the subsequent pregnancy to be canceled or to be suspended. And because here's what's going to happen. Every woman who sees Dom is going to have retroactive tumor, so people are going to be very nervous about having B at any time. We have a bright that supports this approach too. Okay, but about La Bitalta, Benot Yisrael, Pir Virve, you're going to get Benot Yisrael not to have relations with their husband. So now let's see. We've got two bright that each one seems to support either reason number three or Rava's reason. So, what will Rava do with the braita that talks about the box and the basket? The answer is, the answer is that Rava could explain that in that braita, Hillel was mistaken. He thought Shammai's reason was that had there been dam, she would have seen it. So therefore he challenged him with the basket. Shammai's answer back was, my reason really is, I don't want to get in the way of marital life. Even according to the mistake you made, the kamakshit kupa, you're challenging me from the basket, I'll show you even there that you haven't proven your point, because that has a bottom, and it doesn't have a bottom here. Now let's flip it. According to the one who had the third reason, which is Ro Adam, we have the Braita, where Shammai said to Hillel, you're keeping women from having relations from their husbands. The answer is, Hillel turned to Shammai and said, you have a good reason. I agree with you, good reason. If she had Dam, she would have seen it. But nonetheless, you should make a siag, a protection against the law, to have retroactive tumah. Because after all, everywhere else in the Torah you agree to make a siag, why not here? Because here there's an expense. You're costing Benot Yisrael regular relations with their husbands. And Hillel says, I didn't say they should have relations. The Torah would come in. And this is what I said at the introductory piece of the shir. That Hillel said, I was only saying that this would affect Taro, not Bia. And what was Shammai's answer? The Tarot Namilo Dimken Libonok for Poresh. You shouldn't make the rule for Tarot, because what will happen is the husband is going to be nervous that his wife, after all, the rabbis consider her that she may be a Nida, and therefore that all these Tarot we're dealing with are really kind of a question mark until she checks. Therefore, he's going to be very concerned and not have Bia with her. And therefore, they said, we have to have the rule be all across the board. She's not Tamei until we see that she's Tamei. And therefore, people will be able to continue marital relations with a clean conscience. Okay, we'll pick it up. We're really in the middle of this discussion. We've already gone significantly further than a daf. And therefore, we'll hold it off at this point and pick it up in the next podcast. In the meantime, we should have a wonderful day.